Praise God. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a letter that Paul wrote to a church. And the Apostle Paul, as you know, founded a lot of these churches. And he's writing to the church and just explaining a few things to them. Some men came in a pickup truck one time, pulled into the hardware store. And the guy ran in, he said, "We want some 4x2s. And the guy behind the desk, he said, "4x2s? He said, "You mean 2x4s? He looked at a piece of paper, "Oh, yeah," he said, "2x4s. And he said, "Well, how long do you need them?" He started thinking for a while. He said, "Let me run out and check." So he ran back out and checked and came back in again. He said, "We're going to need them for a long time. He said, "We're going to build a house." Now, I don't know what kind of house we're going to build, but we're going to look at some things that God says about building a house today, building a family. This is Father's Day, and it's a day when we celebrate fathers. Usually, as we talk about sometimes, we praise up mothers on Mother's Day and tear down fathers on Father's Day. Not going to do that today, so don't get nervous. We're just going to look at some of the things that God says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I was going to read the first 12 verses, but let's read just 10, 11, 12. Paul says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, and you that you walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together for prayer and ask God's direction. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of being able to come into your presence. Thank you for what you've ministered already today, Lord, in the Gideon presentation, Lord, the video, and Brother Desmond, Lord. We thank you for their faithfulness, and Father, we pray your blessing upon their ministry. Now, Father, as we look into the Word of God, we approach it reverently and humbly. We ask that the Spirit of God would enlighten our understanding, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, and if you read a little earlier on in chapter 1, you find out this church had a good reputation of being a good, solid, sound, powerful church. And the reason for that, Paul tells us, and there's other things we could look at, but just to make it short this morning, there's a reason for that. Paul said that Paul, and Timothy, and Silas, these are three great names that we know from the New Testament in Paul's ministry. These three fellows were pastors there at one time, or father figures in the church. And Paul said, "We looked after this church, we encourage you and everything else." He said, "Just as a father would do for his own children." And we're going to look at that this morning, just two or three things that Paul said there, and draw from that some implications for us as fathers today. And as I said, this is Father's Day, and a time when we remember our fathers and the influence that they had on our lives. So we're going to look at a couple of things. So how important is the father figure to God? How important does God look at this thing? Number one, you're going to, if you want to copy these down, we're just going to, four of them we're going to touch on. Number one, God considers the role of fathers so significant that he built his church around it. God built his church around the idea of how a father operates. And if you go back to Romans, we don't have time to read it all this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he said, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, the word Abba is the same word that we use in the English language as daddy or dad. And Paul said, when God built his church, God himself is the father to the church. And we can call to him, just as you go to a loving father, we can go to our father and call him Abba, Father. And he said, "If your children and your heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ," and he goes on to explain some different things, but the figure of the father is so important that God uses it, and he calls himself a father. When Jesus is on the earth, he said, "When you're praying, say, Our Father, which art in heaven." And so God reveals himself to the church, to his family, as a father, and we are to realize the importance of a father in God's eyes. Number two, God considers this image of father so important that he models leadership after it. He models leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer," or a bishop, the King James says, "must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. So again, he's talking about those that lead the church. He uses the figure of a husband or a father to show that. Then he goes on to say he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children in submission. For if someone does not know how to manage his own house, how will he care for God's church? So again, he uses the father figure for those that will be leaders in his church. He uses himself as a father figure to the church, and those that are within the church must be father figures within the church. And if we could get to a place, and you know as well as I do, if there's a strong father figure, for those that are fathers here this morning, if there's a strong father figure in the family is going to be a strong family. If there's strong father figures in the church, we'll have a strong church, as Paul said here about the Thessalonian church. And so, as far as God's concerned, elders in the church or leaders in the church, whatever you want to call them, must be father figures. You know, it doesn't mean to say they have to be males, but I mean, they must be people to be able to exhibit the father figure and what it, you know, everything is entailed there in a father. Number three, God considers this image of father so important that you don't have to be a father biologically. You don't have to be a father to be a father figure. Okay, you need to understand that. You don't have to be a father biologically to be a father figure. I've seen some people that never had children in the natural, but yet for all, you would make great fathers. You know, they're not father in the physical sense in regards to having a child of their own, but their personality and their character and everything else do make great father figures. Some people say, well, you know, what we pass on to our children, and sometimes people say this, well, my dad was like that, I'm like it, my son is like it, my grandson is like it, we'll go on down through the list. That may be the case. Sometimes we think it's hereditary, you know, how things are passed on. Here's a little illustration, a little story that I read the other day. It said the CBS News program, 48 Hours, did an investigation into the children of some famous people and how they were influenced by what they saw from their parents while growing up. Now, this is famous people that were known around the world and everything else, and they interviewed their children to see how they turned out, if they turned out like their parents. This is interesting. On this program, there was an interview with a fellow named James Raymond, who is the son of a famous person. You couldn't identify his famous father by his name, however, because James Raymond was adopted shortly after his birth. And he was raised by a Californian family who kept his adoption record sealed until he was 31 years old. That was when Raymond discovered that his natural father is David Crosby of the group Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Raymond's habits, this is what you're studying, his habits, his preferences, and his attitudes were more closely related to his adoptive parents than to his natural parent. That's important. His behavior and his beliefs reflected those of the parents who raised him, and what is good came not from ancestry, but from what he saw happening in his parents' lives. So they said example is apparently more powerful than heritage. You say, well, you know, what I do is my own business. No, it's not. What you do affects someone else. You influence people, good or bad, every day of your life, whether you know it or not, whether you think you do or not, you do. Your attitude, your life, or whatever the case, we all affect someone else. We influence people. And here's a good example. This fellow, the young fellow turned out good. His good traits and everything else never came from his biological father. It came from the father and the mother, the parents that raised him. So influence can be stronger sometimes than heritage. So you don't have to be a father to be a father figure. You don't have to be a biological father. We don't know about Paul. We don't know about Timothy, I should say, and Silas. We don't know if they were fathers or not. We know Paul wasn't physically a father. Paul wasn't married. He never had any physical, you know, natural children. But he had many children in the faith, the Bible says. So Paul said, while we were there, Timothy, Paul, and Silas in Thessalonica, he said, we were like fathers to you. And he said, we raise you and we treat you as our own children, even though Paul himself wasn't a natural father. But you don't have to be a natural father in order to be a father figure. Okay, here's number four. If you want to be a father figure, you must realize these things. Number one, discipline is not your primary purpose as a father. Some fathers think that's all they're there for, is just discipline children, stop them from doing this, don't do that. No, that's not your primary purpose. Your primary purpose as a father is to be an example. So be an example. How am I doing for time, boys? That's only 2 minutes, isn't it? So Paul mentions here, these father figures, Paul, Timothy, and Silas, he said they were expressing God's love to them and everything else, and he said they were father figures to the church there at Thessalonica. Paul went on to say in verse 12, 11 and 12, he said, as you know, he said, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you will walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. When we're reading through Scripture, Paul never ever mentions his own father. Never mentions his own father. But he gives us a lot of insight into what a father should be. He lists three characteristics here. Number one, a father is to be an encourager. Paul said, we encourage you. So a father should be an encourager. See the last video we just showed a minute ago? You know, when the first part of it was all, you know, you don't do this, you turn off the lights, you do all these different things, strict rules. But the other one is the father saying, listen, you can be anything you want to be. You know, you encourage them, you help them out, you bless them. And then secondly, the father, Paul said, they were comforting the people there. As a father, you ought to be a comfort to your children. When your children come home and they mess things up and all these different things, you ought to be a comfort to them. And then lastly, you ought to urge them to live lives worthy of God. And this is where a lot of us, we mess up sometimes. And when we realize that our purpose, like that song he sang earlier, although we couldn't hear the audio very well. He said, when my girl becomes a woman and my boy becomes a man, will God be happy that he placed him in my hand? And that's our duty as fathers, to bring our children up to serve the Lord. And, you know, Angie had a saying during the sign this week. It says, Dad, I'm following in your footsteps. Lead me to heaven. And you might not think, well, I'm not leading my child. Yes, you are. You're leading your family. As fathers, God has placed that responsibility upon us. A lot of times, fathers cop out, and mom's got to pitch in and do the father's work spiritually in the family. But listen, even though you say, well, my family's okay because their mother looks after all the spiritual things, that may be so, but God is still going to hold you responsible to it. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, he said, children, he went on, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says, fathers, he said, don't bring your children to wrath. He said, but exhort them, encourage them, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the instruction of God. That's the father's responsibility. Whether we do anything about it or not, one day we will answer for it. One day God's going to call us in question on that, because it's our responsibility as fathers to be the head of the family. Not to be a boss. He didn't call us bosses of the family. He called us the head of the family. That's responsibility, not dictatorship, but it's responsibility. It's our responsibility to bring our families up right. Just one more illustration I want to read. How many of you have ever talked to a fellow named James Ryle, R-Y-L-E? He's an author, he's a speaker. I read this week, he said, at a Promise Keepers conference in Texas, James Ryle told this story. When he was 2 years old, his father was sent to prison. When he was 7, authorities placed him in an orphanage. At 19, he was in a car crash and killed his friend. He sold drugs to raise money for his legal fees and got arrested. He was charged with a criminal offense and sent to prison. While in prison, James accepted Jesus. After he served his time, he eventually went into the ministry. Years later, he sought out his father to reconcile things with him, because his father, remember, left when he was 2 years old. He sought out his father to reconcile things with him. Their conversation turned about his prison life. He started talking about his prison life. And James' father asked him, he said, which prison were you in? And when James told him, his father said, I helped build that prison. He'd been a welder who went from place to place building penitentiaries. Looking at the audience of men, James Ryle was up speaking this, looking at the audience of men, Ryle said, I was in the prison that my father built. How many of us sometimes grow up in a prison that our father built for us? That's a very important thing. Your children may not always heed your advice, but they'll never escape your influence. Anytime a child spends the first 18 to 21 years of their lives with you, they'll grow up to repeat some of your mistakes, resent some of their memories of you, or maybe rejoice in the legacy that you left for them. God said of Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children to keep the way of the Lord. Can God say that about you? Philip the evangelist won the city of Samaria to Christ, but he had an even greater claim to fame. He had four daughters, the Bible says. They were all virgins who did prophesy. His children made it spiritually and morally. So how are your children doing? But fathers, just think about the important role model that we are to our families. And as I said, whether we realize it or not, in God's eyes we are. And we will answer for it. And I look back on my own life sometimes, and I told you this last Sunday, I look at my girls, they're all in church and serving the Lord and things like this. But I think, you know, man, when the time comes for me to leave this planet, I'm gone. Do they have enough in them? Or are they just coming to church because dad is there? Or are they just going to church because dad is phoning every Sunday and saying, are you at church today? I still, every time, Tanya and Tracy, when they call me now, when Tracy calls, they usually call on Sundays. This is the thing we always did ever since they got away from home. And every Sunday, they call back home. And the first thing I ask them, how was church today? And Tanya says, no good for us to stay at church. Dad's going to ask us anyway. You know. But after I'm dead and gone, is there going to be enough of God in them to do that on their own? That's what I'm concerned about. That's what I'm concerned about. And I don't know about you, but I take that very serious. But fathers, we're to encourage them. We're to urge them to live lives that are worthy of God. And we're to comfort them. And let us be found faithful to the task that God gave us. And I just ask you this morning, where are you leading your children? That's an important question. I thought of it when I saw that thing that Ann had written out in the bulletin there, or the sign there today, the week. Where are you leading your children? They're going to go somewhere. And our influence makes a big difference in their lives.
Frames, I see my beauty.